Football is a rough game and often a cruel one.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit. You die inside, a portion of you. Not all of your organs, maybe just your liver.
Pain is inevitable.
They're killing me, Whitey, they're killing me!
There was only the painful face of failure.
Okay, fellas, hey fellas, this is what you work all off season for. This is why you lift all them weights. This is why you do all that.
There was a fighting heart under the ribs of defeat.
Never give up, baby, never give up.
Okay, football fans.
Are you ready for some football?
Let's get back to some football.
Yeah, there you go.
And welcome back to NFL Easy Picks right here on the Trending Topics Network. We are here week 6 of the NFL season. And you know, we like to sit here and talk about the wonderful world of the NFL, just in case if this is your first time listening to us. If it is, welcome! But we like to talk about football, and hence the name NFL Easy Picks. And we like to pick who we think's going to win games, who's going to do well in our fantasy league, who's in all that kind of stuff, our pick'ems league. Anyway, if you want to get a hold of the show, you can email us, NFLEasyPicks@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFLEasyPicks on Twitter. Or you can use hashtag NFL Easy Picks, and your tweets could be read right here on the show. Without any further ado, let's get into our co-hosts. We have, well, I am heavy set. We also have the Mop Jockey.
Who day, motherfucker?
Who?
Gonna beat
Philly
them
day, motherfucker.
Really? How many, what, 2 wins? Fuck you.
Hey, they're getting shitty teams. I'll take them.
And we have FTW.
What's up?
All right, because FTW literally alerted us like 5 minutes ago that
he has a cucumber he has to attend to.
Yeah, he has a cucumber emergency. The produce is about to go bad, and he has to get as many as he can up his ass.
Nope.
And yeah.
No, nope.
But
no, they just asked for volunteers to work overtime at the end of my shift. I raised my hand because holidays are coming. Got to get the extra money in. Boom. So I'm about to stack 500 and some odd chairs, and I got an hour and 50 minutes to do it. So I should be able to.
And, yeah, so we're going to do this show a little bit differently. We're also going to run into a problem next week, but either if we can find a way to do it earlier, maybe if we can do something like that. If not, finding another person to jump in.
Right.
Got a few people in mind, but we'll see how that goes. Let's get into the picks, get into NFL Easy Picks with picks, and we will start with our teams. And let's go with... Let's get this murder out of the way. The 2-3 Cleveland Browns hosting the 5-0 Denver Broncos. Broncos are a 4-point favorite. I'm going with Denver.
Denver.
Yeah, I'm going to take Denver, but I am not going to be even a little surprised if Cleveland wins because Denver's offense is just a fucking train wreck.
I will say real quick, and I know I'm trying to hurry up so I can get my shit going, but Cleveland's tight end, I forget his name. But
Gary Barnage.
Fucking great fantasy pickup for me because he got me like almost 20 points this week. So I like me some whatever his name is.
Gary Barnage.
Gary Barnage fan. I'm a Gary Barnage fan. I needed me a jersey.
I picked him up. I was going to say, because I mentioned before, I picked him up. I think I mentioned it. I picked him up last week.
Yeah.
Or right before last week's game. And went up this week 5. It was before week 4. And it's because I'd seen his numbers with McCown and they were high.
Yeah.
So I took a shot on him 2 weeks ago, paid well, and same this past week. And then what I ended up doing too was I went to all 4 of my leagues. I've had him in one. He's taken in 2 others, but I have one that he was still open, and I got to double check waivers. Oh, waivers cleared tomorrow. So I'll find out tomorrow.
No, waivers cleared last night.
That's right. But and I took off Yahoo's the emails and notifications. I hate that shit.
Yeah.
If Mark Sanchez is butt fumble, Gary Barnage is butt touchdown.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that touchdown yet, oh my fucking god, that is amazing.
What about motherfucker in the Super Bowl?
I don't remember the one in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I picked up Gary Barnage. Cleared the waiver for me. All right.
Yeah,
he's gonna suck this week.
And he's gonna suck balls because Denver's defense is fucking amazing.
That is the thing because before FTW gets off, we'll talk about the Browns game. We'll talk about our teams real quick. But McCown and how he's playing, I think the Denver's defense is going to make him look like a – it's not just Barnes look like a bitch. It's going to make him look like a bitch. But
oh, yeah. I mean, McCown is not going to realistically keep up with what he's doing. He threw for, what, 400 and some yards. He was the number one fucking quarterback in fantasy this past weekend. He's over 300-something yards for the last three games.
Three games, yeah.
Yeah. It's not sustainable. But enjoy it while you get it.
Quotes that I've said many times on this show, back when even Joe was on. One was by Jerry Jones, and I forget who the other one was by. Stats are for losers. They relish in them.
Well, then that I'm a fucking loser.
That's Jerry Jones, and stats are for losers. You keep looking at stats, we'll keep looking at wins. And that's how I look at, like, oh, like people in Cleveland, oh, McCown's, no. Stats, these stats are for losers. You keep looking at those stats, I'm going to look at wins. Right now, McCown has one win. Manziel has one win. I'm not saying put in Manziel, but I'm saying that's what I'm measuring them on right now. McCown, get another win.
Didn't Cleveland beat Oakland?
No.
Oh, that's right. They lost. They barely lost that game, didn't they? No, I'm serious. I thought they come back and won that game.
No, we only beat that one team.
That shitty team over in Baltimore. That nobody believed me was going to be bad.
We beat that other shitty team from Tennessee.
Oh yeah, I knew they were going to be bad.
All right. Speaking of that team, we have the 1-3 Miami Dolphins at the 1-3 Tennessee Titans. The Titans are a 2.5-point favorite. I'm gonna go Tennessee.
I don't know. Miami coming off the bye with new coaching. I'm gonna take Miami.
I tentatively have Tennessee written down. That's very possible to change. Miami has burnt me so many motherfucking times. So prove it to me at this point. No, I know what Tennessee is. I know what they are. I know what they, you know, how they're going to play. But fucking Miami, fuck you.
Are the Titans who you thought they were?
No, they are exactly what it is. I expect Mariota to lose a game every once in a while. He's a fucking rookie.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
But when I look at Tennessee, I see hope for the future.
All right, let's get into the 2-3 Chicago Bears at the 0-5 Detroit Lions. Lions are favored by 3, and 68% of people are picking Detroit in this one. This should be a lot closer, I think. I think it should be in the 50s right now.
Yeah.
With Detroit playing at home, Cutler played good at home last week. Or not home, but played a good game last week. I don't see it happening 2 weeks in a row.
Jeffries is supposed to be back this week, too.
Really?
Yeah, I'm reading that he's had full practices this week, so.
More on that later.
Yeah, we'll get to some of this, but yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say Chicago.
I'm going to take Chicago, too.
Yeah. Right now I'm gonna say Detroit, but I'm going to try to revisit this Saturday or Sunday just because of everything that could come out between now and then. But it could change.
Don't do it because I tried to do that this weekend and it cost me two games.
I don't know. It looks like Chicago's kind of got a little gelling together. So I mean, I could see them winning this game.
Detroit is an absolute fucking train wreck of a mess.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and this is a good game for Chicago to come in and work on it still. And, yeah, Chicago should win this without any problems, but it's Chicago, so.
never say should.
Yeah.
Is it possible I wasn't low enough on Detroit, and I think I had them winning 4 games?
Yeah, I think you did have them at 4-12.
Yeah, 4-12.
And I was high on them at the beginning.
Didn't you have Chicago below them, though?
Yes, I did. I think I had them 3 wins.
Yeah, and they're 1 win away from that mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had them at 3-13.
And a way to knock both of you out with one hit, the 5-0 Cincinnati Bengals at the 3-2 Buffalo Bills. The Cincinnati Bengals are a 3.5-point favorite. First thing, I am going to pick the Cincinnati Bengals, but the thing that I wanted before we go any further, I'm going to express my frustration with a motherfucker, god damn it! Fantasy football. My B-plus player team in the WIR League. I think I'm going to rename them the Intercontinental Title Curse. Because I named them after Daniel Bryan, basically, because I got the B-plus rating. I drafted Tony Romo.
Oh.
I drafted Ben Roethlisberger. Romo was my main quarterback. That's why I planned on, like, I have him go all year and have Roethlisberger there just in case. So when Romo went down, I'm like, great, I got Roethlisberger. He's dependable. He goes down the next week. Tyrod Taylor's doing pretty good. I'll pick him up.
Yep. Nope.
But have, it now there's a question if he's going to play this week or not. Like,
it's already been announced.
No, they came back and said he may play.
Yeah. Yeah, he took first team reps today.
It'll be EJ Manuel.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. Motherfucker! Yeah. Can I not have a quarterback start for this fucking, in this league, and have them not be injured?
I appreciated it.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
I'd rather go fuck you like I did Sunday.
I won one of my fantasy football games, and that was in this league against Miguel.
We'll get to this fantasy football league here soon.
Yeah, because I'm behind somebody for first place on this phone call right now.
Yes, you are, motherfucker. How does it smell?
Really, Andy?
Go Bears.
I couldn't come up with a dad joke quick enough, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking Cincinnati. Yeah. Buffalo's too inconsistent for me to go up against a team at this caliber right now.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cincinnati too, and I'll get into it a little bit later. We don't have time for it now, but this starts a run for Cincinnati of put up or shut up.
Yep.
And all the way down to Monday night game, last one for our picks. Well, for our team picks, with the 3-2 New York Giants at the 2-3 Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia is favored by 4 points. I'm going to go New York.
Fuck you. No, anyway, I think that was going against the Saints was a breakout game they needed to realize what team they can be. And I think they're going to keep that motivation going into Monday. I got Philadelphia.
Yeah, I took Philly too. No Beck, or possibly no Beckham, possibly no Reuben Randall.
Yeah.
I mean, who the fuck is Eli going to throw it to?
Himself.
The other team.
Yeah.
And that means Philly's going to win.
Yep.
Yeah, that could possibly change for my pick now, too. Come think about it. All right, and quickly we'll start back up at the top with the Thursday night game. The 5-0 Atlanta Falcons at the 1-4 New Orleans Saints. I'm going with the Falcons.
Yeah, Atlanta all day.
I'm going Falcons, too, but it's very tentative. With Julio looks like he may be out, and he was a shell of himself Sunday. And Hankerson looks like he's hurt. But it's New Orleans, man. That defense is so fucking bad.
Yeah. All right. The 2-2 Minnesota Vikings hosting the 1-4 Kansas City Chiefs. Minnesota is a 4-point favorite. I'm going with Minnesota on this one. The Kansas City is not as good a team as I thought. I think I had them, winning the division.
You had them going to the Super Bowl, I believe.
Last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
I definitely had them as at least a wild card, double digit wins for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing to see what they're not doing and what they could be doing. But yeah, I'm taking Minnesota.
Yeah, I took Minnesota too.
The 2-3 Washington Redskins, who someone thought was going to go 0-16.
Give me time.
Going up against
it could still happen. Damn it.
Going to the 3-1 New York Jets. Jets are a 6-point favorite. I'm going with the New York Jets.
Yeah, I'll take the Jets.
Yeah, give me the Jets. Coming off a bye week, fucking sorry.
The 3-2 Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the 4-1. 4-1? Yeah, they did lose. 4-1 Arizona Cardinals. I'm going with Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, absolutely Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arizona too, very tentatively. Grumbling is Roethlisberger may be playing Sunday.
Yeah, they're saying he might, but the head coach came out and said, don't plan on it, though.
If Vic plays again, they have zero chance of winning. If Roethlisberger plays, I might consider picking Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The 1-4 Houston Texans at the 1-4 Jacksonville Jaguars. I think I'm going to go Jacksonville this one.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I'm riding Jacksonville this season, and I'm going to pick Jacksonville.
Yeah, I picked Jacksonville to get 7 wins, I think it was, this year. We're probably going to wind up a little short of that, but what the fuck does Houston have? Oh, that's right, Brian Hoyer quarterbacking.
Yep.
Yeah. In a put up or shut up game, the 4-0 Carolina Panthers at the 2-3 Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are 6.5-point favorite. Call me crazy. I'm going with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I'm going with Carolina too.
I can't do it, dude. Seattle at home. I can't go against them yet.
It's Seattle at home, but at the same time, how they've been this year. Like, this is not the same team.
It's not the same team on the road, but all the games they've lost have been on the road. The games at home, they have fucking destroyed the other team.
I got two words for you. Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a one-time fluke thing. So they lose one game in, I think it's now 2.5 years at home.
Yeah. But it can happen.
It can
happen. If I could probably pull back the tape from before that game, and you know, you were probably saying, "Nope, Dallas Cowboys, no, you know, undefeated at home, you know, I'm gotta pick them." So this is, I think the Panthers can go in there and beat them. Will they? I don't know. But I just feel like this is a crippled Seattle team.
It is it's an offensively challenged team. Defensively, they're still good, but I can't pick against Seattle at home. I can't do it.
I get it. Speaking of another team you don't want to not pick at home and who's got the biggest marginal difference, the 5-0 Green Bay Packers, a 10-point favorite hosting the 2-3 San Diego Chargers. Yeah, that's I will not pick Green Bay not winning at home. I think I might have done it once.
Yeah, Green Bay. Not a fucking chance am I picking against Green Bay.
Though, Aaron Rodgers did throw more interceptions than Jay Cutler last week. Fun fact.
For the first time in when?
Ever?
probably for the first time since the playoffs.
I was going to say, when was the last time Cutler was on a bye so he didn't throw a pick?
Well, he was injured.
That was right. Well, no, because Rodgers didn't throw any picks until this game.
Yeah. Anyway, this was a Super Bowl game.
2 years
Not
ago,
that
buddy.
Long ago. Yeah. The 1-4 Baltimore Ravens traveling to the 1-4 San Francisco Giants.
San Francisco Giants are playing baseball this week?
Oh, my God. San Francisco. Yeah.
The outcome would be the same.
Yeah.
the San Francisco 49ers. Might as well be the Giants because it's the only team they have anymore that wins. So,
the Giants have won a championship.
Baltimore are only a 2.5 they're a 2.5-point favorite on the road on the West Coast.
Yeah.
How much money can I put down on San Francisco?
I don't know. You have gambling problems.
It's not a problem if I can't control it.
What? Jesus Christ, this one's tough because they're both garbage. Who cares?
Toilet bowl game of the week.
Yep. I'm going to have to say Baltimore just because I got to pick one.
Oh, I'm taking San Francisco, dude. Baltimore is shitty. They just lost to Cleveland and made fucking Josh McCown look like fucking Aaron
Rodgers. San Francisco's pretty shitty, too.
Yeah.
Browns are probably going to beat San Francisco.
Depends on where they play them.
I want to say, let me pull up the...
If it's in Cleveland, yes, I think they'll beat them. If it's in California, Cleveland, then yeah, I will be picking Cleveland to win that game.
And it's December 13th, so week 14.
Yeah, neither team will be playing for anything at that point.
Nope.
And then we have our last matchup to pick, the Deflategate Revenge Tour 4-0 New England Patriots going up against the 3-2 hosting Indianapolis Colts. The Patriots are at a 7.5-point favorites. Yeah, I think Tom Brady is going to go in there and murder, and the balls will be properly inflated.
Yeah, New England.
Yeah, just picks. I'm taking New England. If I got to put money on it and luck is playing, I might put some money on Indianapolis.
All right. Before FTW has to go, let's get into our teams, and you start.
Buffalo wins very sloppily against Tennessee. I'm not impressed with Buffalo. I think they're too inconsistent this year to even consider playoffs. And I was hoping they'd be double-digit wins, but I don't see that happening.
It's the injuries, though.
Yeah, it is their injuries. I mean, yeah.
You started Booby Dixon, and he was banged up to begin with. That's your third-string running back. The other backup running back was a guy you signed 2 days before the game.
Yeah.
Didn't he used to play for the Cavs?
Who, Booby Dixon?
Booby Gibson is the.
Was there really a Cavs player named Booby also?
Yeah, Booby. I forget what his real first name was. Whatever, called him Booby Gibson.
Well, you know who they signed, right? They signed Boom Heron. So they had Booby and Boom in the backfield.
Yep. Boom Boobies. And then for Philadelphia, great win against a very shitty team. But until they can prove it against better teams, I'm still kind of leery on Philadelphia.
I think the best part of that game was they got fucking DeMarco Murray going.
Oh, yeah. That was the highlight of that game. And hopefully it continues going against the Giants. So
Giants aren't exactly murderer's row on defense. So
you jumping off now? Yeah. Or do you want to finish?
I mean, we can do something real quick and then I got to go.
All right. Tennessee.
They lost in one of the ugliest games of the week by far. It is what I expected it though. It's a rookie quarterback. Your number one receiver gets banged up. You don't really have anybody on defense. I'm looking at 2 years from now them being competitive.
Yeah, I think they got a lot of stuff to build towards, but I think they're headed in the right direction. I think it's like I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I think it's something that I want from the Browns. Like how they got Derek Carr. And, you know, they didn't do great last year, but they found the proper pairing right now with Amari Cooper, and they're headed in the right direction, and you got two young players, and you know that franchise is going to be built around those two. That's what I'd like to see in Cleveland. I think Tennessee is on that road, too.
Yeah, I could definitely see Kendall Wright and Mariota having that type of chemistry. And I mean, I thought about that, too. I'm like, the teams that, I mean, they may not have as many wins as, like, Cleveland, but I would much rather be looking at a future with Tennessee than the future that Cleveland has right now.
I'll get into Cleveland right now, how they're doing. I think we know what we have at quarterback right now, and as in we know we have nothing. We know we don't have a definite future, but I think we're underestimating the receivers. Because when Manziel was in, he was managed to get great numbers with Benjamin, and now with McCown in, which I said everything I said earlier, him and Gary Barnage are, you know, are great together.
Oh, I think Barnage is the biggest difference in that offense right now.
Yeah. Yep. So I think it's you get the right quarterback in there, whether it be Manziel or another pick or signing somebody. I think you can get the right things going. But it's I just think that the offense was highly underrated because of the quarterback. We just thought, like, oh, you know, this is going to be shit no matter what. And now we're like, well, you know, McCown, who did horrible last year, has managed to get some numbers.
And I mean, don't discount. Duke Johnson has shown signs of being very good.
Well, Duke and Crowell both are a good 1-2 punch. But that's something I don't like about Cleveland sometimes. We have a revolving door of 1-2 punches. We don't have a system where it's like Adrian Peterson or Matt Forte, where we definitely have a number one running back, and then we have somebody who comes in, fills in every so once in a while. It has to be the 1-2 punch.
And I think that you're going to see a lot more of that through the NFL now because of the short lifespan of running backs. I mean, most of your better teams have at least two that are good. So it's something I don't think you're going to see the bell cow running backs like you used to. There's very few Adrian Petersons in the world.
Yeah. So I'm happy that the Browns won. Wasn't exactly expecting it, especially against the Ravens. But they played the Ravens close. And I'm curious to see, just within the division alone, how the Browns do. And I'm not talking about the overall record, but I'm talking about the one-on-one games. Even if they're not one of the greatest teams in the league, I think they're going to play even more competitive than they normally do against the division, and that's a good sign.
Well, someone did pick the Browns to win this game, by the way. But, no, I think Baltimore is that bad, but I think Cleveland will give team fits because they do have some weapons now.
If you look at it, okay, the Browns beat Baltimore, and you say Baltimore is bad. Baltimore beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no. Pittsburgh, honestly, in that game, if you watched it, Pittsburgh beat Pittsburgh because Michael Vick, and we can get into this later or not, but he is a fucking awful quarterback. They missed Ben Roethlisberger so bad. It was so bad. There was one play that I was watching in that game on Sunday. It was Vic was the quarterback, Le'Veon Bell was the running back, and they had Brown out on the outside, right?
Monday.
Monday night, sorry. There was 10 defenders at the line of scrimmage, literally, like, standing within 5 feet of the line of scrimmage. He did not audible out of that fucking play to Antonio Brown, the one of, if not the best receiver in the NFL, single coverage on the outside. Vic did not fucking audible out of a run play up the middle.
Right.
They have until Roethlisberger comes back, I cannot pick Pittsburgh. Vic is that bad.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, I got to jump off.
Bye, honey.
Don't say that ever again. I almost said bye.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
Bye, sexy. All
right, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Call me later.
Nothing is off. Where were we?
Ranting about Pittsburgh's, I'm sorry, Michael Vick's god awfulness.
Trying to get back to where we were on our teams.
We were talking about Cleveland.
Cleveland, I'm kind of done with that. You know, great and all. Best. I didn't watch either game.
You missed it, dude. That was probably the game of the week. That game was awesome to watch.
I was happy how it turned out. I was watching stats and everything.
And to be honest, there may have been some of the best games of the year so far in this weekend on the 1 o'clock games. Oh my god, it was great to watch.
I know when we get into our Pick'ems League, which we normally start with, up until the Bengals game finished and the Browns game finished, Bartender had perfect score.
I'm so mad about the picks right now.
And he picked Cleveland. I think he picked Cleveland to win, so he got that one right. But he picked Seattle. Then he ended up getting a couple more wrong too. But I was like looking at it, like, I'm like, holy fuck, this guy might do it. But then, you know.
I should have tied Bartender for the lead this week. I Thursday before the game started, I heard, you know, we knew Luck wasn't going to play. And then I hear Hasselbeck, like, walked out of the hospital to the plane to fly. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way Hasselbeck goes in there and wins that game in Houston. Fuck you, Houston.
On a side note, when it comes to picks, because you haven't got to listen to the show yet, and we didn't get much time to talk before this, you do know that you got a perfect score for WrestleCast, right?
Yeah, I did, and I got. I remember. I think we talked about that last week before the show, that I thought I did get a perfect score.
Yeah, I looked at it. If you would have put bets down on everything, actually, according to Andy, you tied. Because when he picked Asuka to win, he put a +5 immediately, and I overlooked it. But then again, me reviewing it, I always go over at the end, and I didn't mention it because I didn't mark it down. He never corrected me.
Whatever.
So either you're tied.
However you got to win, Andy. However you got to win, buddy.
Yeah, either you're tied for first, or you're ahead by 5.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll catch him later.
Well, either way, you're still first place regardless.
Yeah, baby.
Anyway, back to football, the wonderful world of football. Bears, shocked that they won.
Excited. 2 touchdowns in 3 minutes to win the game.
Yeah, I'm still very...
Yeah, they by all rights, should have lost that game. I think if Jamal Charles finishes the game, I think that game turns out a whole lot differently. But, yeah, I mean, you got to take the wins where you can get them.
Yeah, because I don't know how many we're going to get with Chicago. We'll see how they do this week. They can string 3 in a row. The season will look a little bit better than I thought. But just right now, I'm like,
It's very possible, too.
We won't go into playoff contention, but I think we could probably just look better than what I thought. And I had a set, I think I had the Bears and the Browns both at like 5 wins.
I mean, I think one of the plus signs on Chicago is the defense doesn't look as atrocious as they did last year.
Yeah. They actually did put up a fight against Green Bay until I think Green Bay like pulled away closer to the end. They held on with them like longer than anybody expected.
It's like hanging in there with New England, dude. If you can hang in there with New England, you're a good team.
Yeah. And that's, I think, that what Chicago like was bad about them. Week 1 was against the Packers. Week 2 was against the Cardinals. And week 3 was against the Seahawks.
And I think they were pretty much in all those games except for Arizona, right?
Yes.
Oh, wait, no. They had to go to Seattle and got fucking destroyed because Cam Chancellor.
Yeah, that was the other one, too. That was their first win, and Seattle was getting all, like, hyped about it. Like, oh, yeah, give Cam Chancellor his money. It's like, you went against Chicago.
No, please, please let Cam Chancellor go so someone else can have him. Tennessee, I'm looking at you.
What was that? Not like, let him go, but like give him his money. Like, yeah, give him his money. Fuck that. Anyway, we didn't miss any team, did we? Or would we go over the?
We still got one more to go there, buddy.
Yeah, the surprise of the week, kind of.
You say surprise, I say I picked them.
Well, you picked them. You think it was going to be that lopsided, though?
What are you talking about?
I thought
we still. I'm talking about Cincinnati.
Yeah,
it wasn't lopsided. Did that game went to overtime? Oh, yeah, yeah, Cincinnati.
Wasn't it lopsided before?
Yeah,
though?
Like the first fucking quarter, Cincinnati. Andy Dalton showed up. I think it was Dalton picked off, but they were down 14-0, and that I think is the part I'm most excited about. They didn't just fucking quit. They fucking put up a fight. They come back. They tied it up, and they sent it to fucking overtime and won the game. I think that is what I'm most excited about with Tennessee or Cincinnati. Sorry. I mean, honestly, in years past, you'd have seen the Bengals. They'd have showed up. Mm-hmm. They'd have got smacked in the face and quit. But like I was saying when we were doing picks, and I'll go ahead and get into it now. Coming up, this is the run that they have to do over the next 5 weeks. They have to go to Buffalo, which is probably going to be a win because of Buffalo being banged up. Then they have to go to Pittsburgh, which is never easy to play. And I'm guessing Roethlisberger's back for that game. Then they get Cleveland on.
I wouldn't be surprised if Roethlisberger doesn't play this week, only to come back against Cincinnati.
Exactly. Then they play Thursday night against Cleveland, which they never play good on a night game on the Thursday nights. Then they play the next week on Monday night against Houston. Then they have to go to Arizona.
They get the extra bye week.
Yeah, they get that extra couple of days. Yeah. But they don't play good in prime time.
I know.
And like I said, this is the put up or shut up. Back-to-back
prime time games too.
Yeah. This is the put up shut up time. It's you have to go to Pittsburgh and I say you got to win that game. You have to beat Cleveland and you have to beat Houston. If you go to Arizona and lose, that's not that bad. But you have to win at least 3 of the 4 before that game to prove that you're a fucking contender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are projecting them to go far.
And honestly, this stretch of 5 games is what's going to determine if they're playing in that the wild card weekend of the playoffs. Because if they win 3 of the 5, I got a real good feeling they're the 1 or 2 seed coming up on playoff time. They get that bye week. If they lose 4 of these games.
Well, no. I think they'll probably be the number 2 seed. Right now, I don't see anybody taking Green Bay out of the number, because I think they'll.
No.
They might.
It's not Green Bay. You're talking about New England, because it's AFC.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. But if they lose 4 of these 5 games.
We'll get to that here shortly.
If they lose 4 of these 5 games, that could very easily see, who am I forgetting? Denver knocking them out of the number 2 seed.
Denver, it's so weird right now in Denver.
I think it's time to put a fork in Manning.
In some regards, they're not a good team. Like, well, especially with some of the shit like Peyton Manning's put up. I think, QBR, with starting quarterbacks, he's number 30 or something like that?
Yeah, I don't even look at the numbers. Watch him. He cannot get out of the way of defensive players. If somebody rushes him, he cannot get out of the way. And that, for a quarterback, you're going to get killed. You're just going to get killed.
But where he's lacking, the rest of the team is, making up for it.
Dude, that defense is historically good.
I know. That's why with this game against the Browns, I think this is a real test for both teams. And how great are these Browns receivers? That's another thing, too. I was, watching. It's something I don't like about quarterback stats. Like, look at how great McCown's doing. He threw for 400-some yards. Okay. For the highlights that I see, how many yards did he actually pass for?
I would say quite a bit of it. But
what I mean is, he throws 10 yards and Gary Barnage runs 30. Well, that's a 40-yard pass.
Or Barnage catches the ball at the goal line on his ass and rolls over into the end zone.
That's not... Yeah, you keep bringing up. It happened in the fucking Super Bowl. It didn't happen. It wasn't a touchdown, but it happened in the fucking Super Bowl. It got batted away, and then as whatever his fucking name was on the ground, he fucking caught it, and I thought he caught a part with his leg, too.
All I know is Gary Barnage caught it between his calves and reached down and had the presence to catch that ball. That honestly was one of the best catches I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, how many of those yards, like, is it credited towards McCown's good or the people running the ball are adding to the yards?
There's some of that with every quarterback, though.
But what I'm saying is, like, for McCown, like, a lot of people are saying, like, how good he is. And with, like, all these yards and stuff, and, like, some of the few highlights that I got to see, like, I think I saw, like, McCown threw, like, a 5-yard slant. It was something small, not even 5 yards. Might have been a couple yards. But the receiver ran, like, 10, 15 yards after that.
But you can even do that with Brady. Brady's throwing 7 to 10 yard route, like slant routes, and connecting with fucking Amendola and Edelman, and they're just breaking tackles and going off. And Gronk is fucking ridiculous. But you can make those same arguments for any quarterback.
But Brady can bomb it.
Yeah, McCown, I don't know what he's gotten. McCown's gotten away of an arm, but
normally, when you think someone's throwing for that many yards, you're thinking there's got to be some like big chunk plays, and I don't think he has that in him.
Well, and to be fair, he doesn't have a big receiver to throw it to. He doesn't have, you know, a guy that's 6'5", you know, can go up and get one of those balls. You know, his guys are the little 5'10" shifty fuckers that, you know, Shane is not that shifty.
But he can go for balls.
Oh, no, he's good at catching
balls. And he's that short.
But if it's double coverage, he just ends up taking all the balls.
Oh, no, he doesn't go up for balls. He goes down for balls.
Yeah, same difference.
All right. That takes care of how our teams did, and we're doing this completely different order, so it's like crazy. Let's get into the Pick'ems League. Wow, I don't think I looked at this after the Steelers game. Or I did, but I didn't look at the standings. Good God. Yeah. How did you do?
I got 9, and it should have been 11. Like I said, I changed my pick on Houston, and I changed I picked Tennessee because I found out that Booby Dixon was starting running back.
All three of us got 9. And yeah. According to, like, because I don't know exactly how they break it up of, like, if everybody who gets 9, what order it goes in. But at least on my screen, it goes me, you, him.
Yeah, I think it's just a random order. And I mean, once you start looking at the totals too, you'll see there's very little difference between, I know between me and first place is like 6, and I'm in 9th place.
Yeah, Bartender.
Bartender killed it.
He about did, but then like he went on, he had one bet trying to go against the grain, him and 2 other people. And he picked San Francisco and San Diego, and that fucked him too. But he tried to pick Detroit over Arizona, that fucked him. And Seattle over Cincinnati. Let me see. Everybody got Green Bay right. Everybody got New England right. Everybody got Atlanta right. There's not one that everybody got wrong. And of all those games, I don't think any of them were close.
The Atlanta needed a late touchdown to tie it up and send it to overtime. Because Cousins threw the pick 6 to lose the game in overtime. Yeah, by all rights, Atlanta should have lost that game. But good teams find ways to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when your number 1 and 2 receivers go down. And yeah.
DRG was the worst with 7 correct. Andy, Miguel, Carp, Ant, MJR, Brian, you, me, Shane all got 9. GBL, Bartender, and Wayne all got 10.
Dude, Wayne's fucking killing it.
Is it beginner's luck?
I think he's getting lucky with some of them, but he can't just be copying off of Ant because he's doing better than Ant.
Let me see. Favorite, underdog, favorite. He picked 2 underdogs.
I've only picked 3 underdogs the last 2 weeks.
One paid off with Pittsburgh, and the other one that didn't pay off was Seattle.
I kind of wonder.
Not Seattle. He picked Houston. I'm sorry.
Oh, see, yeah, I did the same thing.
But then again, technically, looking at the line, there was no technical favorite.
Right, yeah. No, but I think Houston was the favorite on Yahoo. If I'm not mistaken, they were listed as the favorite.
Yeah, they're listed as the favorite, but right. There's no line.
No, there was no line. But no, I kind of wonder if Wayne has kind of caught the bug a little and maybe is following it a little bit.
I don't think so.
I don't know, man. To pick Pittsburgh when they were clearly an underdog.
But then again, what it is because what we've mentioned before about you pick all favorites and then you figure out which ones you're going to take the gamble on. He's got what seems like to be a beginner's luck of picking those games that don't fuck him. Because, I mean, when you look at of all the games this week, 4 underdogs won. And that's a rough estimate of where it normally is. Anywhere from, I think, 2 to 4.
Yeah, I think we had a couple weeks in there where it was, you know, you had 6 or 7 underdogs win. And that's with the weeks that we got, like, 7 right, you know, as the leaders got 7 right. But, you know, it's been, I mean... There's been a week lot of one, really bad games, too.
Week 1, it was 6. Oh, my God. Week 2. Yeah, week 2 was bad.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 were, so over half were underdogs week 2. Week 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. Week 4 was 1, 2, 3, 4. Nice pattern.
And if you start noticing, like, when our picks got better is when the favorites started winning.
Yeah. So, just like I said, it's who you want to take those gambles on. I took right now, I got 4 for next week. I actually already changed Detroit over to Chicago, Jacksonville, Carolina, and right now I got the Giants in as my last one. And that
I think I had 3. I had 2, and I was because Seattle's considered the favorite, but I kind of think they're the underdog too. You know what I mean? Because Carolina is the undefeated team coming in off a bye.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into the standings for the actual league as a whole for the Pick'ems League. In 14th place, Bartender at 36. 13th place, MJR to Pimp a Butterfly, 83 correct. 12th place, Miguel Boobs, with 39 correct. 11th place, Brian Toons Terrible, with 43. 10th place, Arkham Knights, Shane, with 44. 9th place, Mop, that's you, 45 correct. 8th place, Ant, the Vigilantes, with 46. In 6th place, myself and DRG, with 47. 5th place, Carp, Killer Carp, with 48. 4th place, tie for 3rd place, Andy and Wayne with 49, and the tie for 1st, GBL and March with 51 correct. Yeah. So,
like I said, between 1st and 9th is 9 games, or 6 games. That's pretty fucking close.
Mm-hmm. Right now, in the top 5, there is only 1 American.
Yeah, we'll change that.
We have a Brit and a New Zealander. Tied for 1st, a Brit and American tied for 3rd, and a Canadian in 5th.
Who's tied for 1st?
Mart and GBL.
Mart.
Yeah. Thought I said Mark.
No, for some reason I thought Bartender was leading, but no, I'm like, no, he's not. There's no way he's leading.
No, because he's in 14th place.
Yeah. Well, I think he missed a bunch of games, too. Like, wasn't there for them.
Yeah, he missed a couple Thursday games, which, you miss a Thursday game, it's not going to be a big thing. But if you miss 1 o'clock games, which he missed, like, that's what he missed.
Yeah, those are killers because that's where you got, if you miss Thursday and all of the early games, you've got like 4 or 5 games to pick.
And right now, the best for a single week performance is Wayne.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Wayne's doing pretty well. I hope he's watching. You know what I mean? I'm hoping he's following and catches the bug.
Week 3, he got 15 correct. I mean, granted, after that, we got into buys, so I could have changed for people.
Yeah, but that's 15 out of 16, right?
Did he only get one wrong that week?
Yeah, because there's only 16 games when everybody's playing.
Yeah, I'm trying to, pull up. It was week 3.
And he had a terrible week 1. I think he had something like 6 games, right?
Oh, yeah, because he picked Cleveland over Oakland.
And there was a lot of people that picked Cleveland over to Oakland.
Yeah, DRG, MJR are the only two that picked Oakland. So if Cleveland would have got that right, Wayne, of all people, would have made history on the show.
Yep, he sure would have.
Because we don't count playoff perfect weeks, even though I remember Joe one was like, yeah, I got a perfect week. And I'm like,
I got four right. Yay.
Yeah, like, it's like four. It's not that impressive. Like, you can do it. If you do it any time during the season, I don't care if it's 12 games that week or all 16. Like, that's much more impressive.
Now, if you pick all of the playoffs perfect, then that's impressive.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get into our fantasy league, which I got.
Yeah.
I got Shane this week.
You got him, do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make him squeal. Be like a piggy.
I knocked Jack off, so.
Yep, new number one.
That's right, baby. I
knocked him down to fourth place, but in 14th place, Tebow lives at 0-5. 13th place, Bartender, 1-3-1. 12th place, Pin Me, Pay Me, 2-3. 11th place, Nickel D, 2-3. 10th place, Boobs, 2-3. 9th place, The Beast Incarnate, 2-3. 8th place, The American Males, 2-3. 7th place, Twisted Savages, 3-2. 6th, The Bullshit Brits, 3-2. 5th place, Playin' B, 3-2. 4th place, Die, Chronicky Die, 3-2. 3rd place, Carp's Tip Top Team, 3-1. 2nd place, hashtag Cancel the NFL Network, 4-1. And new first place, 4-1, Sloppy Moppy.
And I want to go ahead and make a public correction. It was fucking Andy that beat me, not Bartender, which is what I said last week.
Okay.
Just wanted to say that because Andy seemed to, you know, remind me of that. And I hope to God I get to play him again.
Was it week one?
Yes, sir.
I think so.
I hope so.
I think you play him one more time for the playoffs.
I can't wait to spank Andy's ass.
Yeah, Andy can't let shit go. More of that on DSG and P WrestleCat. Or more of that on a show.
Unnamed show. Name redacted.
Show name redacted.
And anybody out there that wants to ask fantasy questions, dude, I fucking,
we have some fantasy questions.
Oh,
tweets.
good, because I love some fantasy football. I mean, I am addicted as fuck to fantasy football.
You were supposed to have a fucking fantasy segment. And you were going to have a spinoff show.
And I recorded about two or three of them and then sat on them and sat on them and
like,
sat on
I
them.
I thought you were going to say like 2 or 3 minutes and you're like, all right, I'm done.
No. I had a 5-minute one on DeMarco Murray before the season started. And so far, I've been right. I think I did a Jimmy Graham. I don't know. I still got him on the computer at home, but I didn't know what to do with him because we never had shows.
I would have put him as like separate episodes.
A 5-minute fucking episode.
Yeah.
Eh. And it's a little
tidbit for somebody to listen to.
I really want to do one. It's just
not like you're doing anything else.
Well, no, in real life I am. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. In, you know, like my real life things come up and it's hard to do it when you're the only one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know you're not that into fantasy, and I know Shane's not that into fantasy. But
I'm more like I'm more into the football aspect of everything. So like when somebody like DRG asks me a bunch of times, it's hard for me to respond just because when I draft my team, I don't do trades. If I do anything, I just pick up off the waiver wire.
Oh, dude, I'll do trades. I'll do fucking whatever you want. Send them my way, boys. And I will happily butt rape you in a trade.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get into... There's some tweets that were sent out. Some weren't fantasy related. Let me see. Let's go through the games that we have coming up this week on the Pick'ems. We don't do enough Pick'ems, but the fantasy league, I don't do it every week, but... You see, the Nickel D is going up against Twisted Savages. The Beast Incarnate's going up against Pin Me, Pay Me. Tebow Lives is going up against Bartender. Carp's Tip Top Team's going up against Sloppy Moppy.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Playin' B is going up against Miguel. Boobs. Die, Chronicky Die is going up against hashtag the NFL Network. And myself, the American Male, is going up against the Bullshit Brits.
Go, Jack, go.
Go, Jack, go.
Anything to knock Shane off of it.
All right, that does it with all that. We're going to end the show, with Shane not being here. We get to end it, not being here, but with him, like, screwing up the format of the show.
You mean we get to do the social, what do you call it?
The hashtag huddle.
Yeah, that's it.
The huddle cuddle. Cuddle huddle.
Yeah, it's not as much fun when Shane's here to say, oh, God, shut up, guys. I'm so homophobic.
No, I'm not. Cut that shit out.
I'm not homophobic. I just don't like gay people. I don't like mentions of gay people.
I'm not racist. Damn. Anyway. Let's go. Let's start with emails. Email. Which we have one from, guess, Annie Anderson.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say Ant.
We have, start off with Andy. Hello, boys, and FTW, who's not here. So far in this early season, my coach of the year goes to Dan Quinn from the Atlanta Falcons. It is his first year, and the Falcons have shown great improvement in this year. Am I way off? Who would be your guys' pick for coach of the year so far this year? Thank you for reading my email, and this has been my Nickel D Thought of the Week, AA.
No, I don't think you're far off there at all. I think it's Quinn. Oh my God, whoever is in Carolina has had a really good performance so far. And Bruce Arians in Arizona has been really good also.
What about if the Bengals continue on as well as they are?
Never mention him as coach of the year. The greatest 8-8 coach ever to exist.
But if they get a playoff win, you'll be ecstatic.
Yeah, that they went, you know, they're going to have something above 8-8. I don't like Marvin Lewis.
What's 8-8?
Mediocre.
Browns haven't had anything like that since 2007.
Yeah, I think,
and we had a 10-6 season that year. That was actually pretty good.
I think after 10 years of coaching with the Bengals, I believe Marvin Lewis's record was 50-50. Literally 50-50.
Shown great improvement though.
Oh yeah, they're playing very well, like I said they would, because it's the fucking month of October.
Yeah, the real test is gonna be January.
Anything after Thanksgiving is a big test for the Bengals.
Yeah, I think actually just we'll see how they're going to do in the two back-to-back primetime games. If they could win both of those, I mean, you might think you're looking at a different team, and that could be all you need.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear right now that Cincinnati's going to win this division. I don't see, even with Roethlisberger back, they still have a lot of holes on defense that are glaring holes. I'm pretty confident the Bengals are going to win this division. The question is are they going to be the 2 seed or are they going to be the 4 seed?
Yeah. All right, let's get into the tweets as I pull all that up.
You have to mention that fucking hoodie wearing fuck, Belichick, as coach of the year too.
Who?
Belichick.
Yes and no. Sometimes when you think coach of the year, I think you think of someone who made some sort of like progress.
Yeah, but that's really, I don't agree with that. Then rename coach of the year to most improved coach of the year, because the guy that wins the most games with the most dynamic offense to me is coach of the year.
Well, then call the MVP the quarterback award.
I know it really irritates me, some of these awards and how they're given out.
Yep. That's why I was against Peyton Manning when he won the
year they won the Super Bowl.
No, the year they made it to the Super Bowl. Well, they lost to the Saints, because I thought Drew Brees should have been MVP. And I always thought whenever Brees went into that Super Bowl, he went in with a fucking chip on his shoulder.
To me, the MVP is the guy that if is not playing for that team, they are not the same team. So, best I can tell, Tom Brady should have never won the award ever. Matt Castle stepped in for him and still won 11 fucking games.
I don't know. We'll see how Matt Castle does this week.
Yeah, that's been announced already.
One other story that I want to get into that I keep seeing on social media, I forget what player it is, but he wanted to wear all pink. Well, yeah. You want to wear the pink all year round.
It's D'Angelo Williams. It was in that article that I tagged in the hashtag.
I thought you tagged something else.
There was one about, you know, just a random good story about the Browns. And then there was also one about Cameron Hayward got fined because he put Ironhead on the eye black.
Yeah. There was that one.
There was a bit at the end of the article about D'Angelo asking if he could wear, you know, like the pink gear all year long because his mom died last year of breast cancer. And the NFL said no. You know what? I'll save it till we get to it.
No. Well, I want to start with that because I agree with the NFL on that one. Because
the jersey, I agree with. Wearing pink armbands or something to signify, you know, hey, this is a problem. This need, you know.
I think if it's anywhere considered on something that is part of the uniform that everybody on the team wears and you're going to be different, I'm going to side with the NFL.
I don't. Like,
I want to have the pink towel here. Well, everybody else in your team is going to be wearing the normal towel. It's a way for you to stick out, and it's a uniform.
Yes,
uniform.
I agree, but I don't think uniform should include arm sleeves or any of the like bands and stuff that they wear. You know, because the guy's trying to bring awareness to a very big issue that needs to be addressed more than just 1 month of fucking year.
But here's also the thing, too. Like, this story just annoys the fuck out of me. Because I am one of the people, I side with the NFL, and I think this is a poor taste of a publicity stunt. Because, yeah, you went to the NFL, you knew what they were going to fucking say, and you're making a big deal about it, and you think that it's going to change their mind. A, it's not going to change their mind, and B, you're not the first person to do shit like this.
No,
but you're the only one that's going to get attention, that has gotten, like, the hardcore attention from it, and that's what annoys me. Brandon Marshall did something, like, 2 years ago. I think he wanted to wear green.
Yeah, his was for some kind of a mental illness thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's what he, like, suffers from, because it was, right, I think, right. November is that month, and it's, you know, to wear green. But actually, every month of the year has some sort of sickness or something like that that's... Awareness Month of Breast Cancer is the one that's like a million times more powerful or noticeable or recognized, whatever, than anything else.
I had less issue with the NFL saying no to DeMarc or to D'Angelo. At least he did it right, and he went and asked, and they said no, and he hasn't done it.
Well, it's one of those things. He went and asked, but he knew what the answer was, and he knew he was going to get the publicity because of everything going on, like, of all months to ask for it and all this kind of stuff. That's what annoys me.
No, but he went before the season and asked this. The thing this is just coming out now, 2 months after he asked for it. So it's not D'Angelo asking, you know, bringing this out. This is coming out. I'm guessing it got leaked out. And the NFL is just catching the backlash for it. My problem isn't with that part of it, because I understand, you know, a uniform, you know, needs to be uniform. My problem was with the other part of that article, and that was the Cameron Hayward part.
Exactly. That's my flip side of it. When I heard that story, because I've had this reaction the past couple of days, just seeing that story shared and seeing the fucker's face wearing all pink and the headphones and all this stuff, like, and it's like the same picture over and over and over and over again. So I just had that in my mind, and then this story popped up, I think today, and I just went, okay, I agree with what the NFL did here, but not with the fine, because it's just like under the eye. Like, that's what I'm like, all right, that's way too far.
Yeah, and it's not like it's, you know, I know why the rule was made, because if you remember back in the day, it was the times that I can remember, it was like the 85 Bears and McMahon. Well, it was the Packers. There was a Packers linebacker. I think it was Packers linebacker that would write players' names down on his towel.
Hit list. Yep.
Yeah.
Here's a funny story. I have two like clips that I downloaded from YouTube that are on my phone because I have just all my whole library on there. And a lot of sound clips are on there. Last night, as I'm driving up through Illinois into Wisconsin, which I'm still in Wisconsin right now, like,
did you get
those came on. No. Those came on. So, like, as, like, I'm in Illinois going into Wisconsin, I'm hearing these stuff. And, the 86 season when all that happened. And, I think because he got ended up getting like a really late hit on him, like a real bad intention.
Oh, dude, that I can't. Like I said, I can't remember who it was, but he ended up like his hit list. He took out a good portion of the people that was on at hit list and hurt them, whether it was a legal hit or not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, I get that. But what Cameron Hayward did, he wrote Ironhead because that's his fucking dad that died. You know, he's trying to. And I know the NFL doesn't want anybody to be an individual at all, But it's his dad. He was an NFL player. It just fucking pisses me off that the NFL goes and fines him for that.
Well, you can be an individual, but you can't be an individual like...
No, you're not allowed to be individual at all.
They don't care about... you can do the face paint differently.
As long as it's black.
That's racist.
Well, that's what it is, though. Although there was the... I can't remember who it is now, but the Atlanta player, I think, wears red contacts game days. Huh. Which is freaky.
You can go outside their dress code. You're going to get fined for it. Look at a Brandon, was it Brandon Marshall? Not with the green thing, because I mean that was a different story. But
Chad Johnson used to get, or Chad Ochocinc, whatever the fuck his name is now. Yeah. He got fined on he had a running count of 10 games straight that he got fined for something every game.
Or was it Earl Bennett? Remember, he wore he wanted to wear a different color shoes.
I don't know about
and Bennett. And I think he did wear different color shoes. He got fined for it, and then the next they won. And, they went to do it again, and Cutler was like, I'll pay for it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, just do it, and I'll pay for it.
Yeah, but the problem is it's the NFL, and the fines get progressively worse.
Well, it was, got fined the first time, went, and then the second time Cutler said he'll pay for it. They said if he did it a third time, he wasn't going to be permitted on the field.
Yeah, it irritates me. I mean, let them have some fucking flavor. You motherfuckers need to worry about controlling your goddamn referees and your goddamn game clock more than you need to worry about what's written on somebody's fucking eye black. Fix your fucking game. Quit being greedy motherfuckers.
They suspended the game clock, ref.
Yeah, okay, great. You suspended the ref. Did that help? Did that help Detroit?
God, Detroit.
It ended up not costing Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh, still went down and scored. But if Pittsburgh doesn't score there, does that help Pittsburgh? No. Fix your fucking game. You are fucking professionals.
Here's the thing. Everybody has errors and people fuck up. When it comes to, I know the Detroit touchdown, that should have been something that you have somebody watching those games from New York. And even if something's not, quote, reviewable, they're watching on TV and they go, whoa, 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 whoa.
But you can't.
Yeah, they can.
No. A non-reviewable play cannot be reversed.
Yeah. No. You're not getting what I'm saying. Yeah, they can. They just have to start changing the fucking rules.
Yeah, but that shit. I'm sorry. The way the rules read right now, the play in Detroit is not reviewable. The time clock thing was not going to be able to be fixed because they didn't catch it until after the game. The fucking Atlanta running back, Devontae Freeman, had a touchdown ruled not a touchdown because he catches the ball, turns, takes a step to the end zone, falls down, and then the ball comes out, but he didn't make a football move. So it doesn't count as a touchdown. How is turning around with the ball in your fucking hands, taking a step and falling into the end zone? Those all sound like football moves to me. Fix your fucking rules, then worry about what that somebody's got written on their eye black.
Well, when you think about it, they do fix the rules every year. It's always a work. It's a work in progress, isn't it? Correct. Don't they always go back every year and start tweaking stuff?
Yes, they do tweak, but. It was 3 years ago that Calvin had his touchdown ruled not a touchdown, and we're still don't know what a fucking touchdown, what a football move is. And I don't believe those plays are reviewable. Even a coach's challenge, nothing. That play was not reviewable because it was ruled incomplete pass.
In my personal opinion, I think every play should be reviewable by somebody in New York.
And I understand.
If they're watching it, unbiasedly, and then they go, whoa, 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 we need to review that.
I understand you don't want to have to review every play and judge every single call made on every single play. I get that. But when it involves touchdowns, something that's going to decide a game, anything major like that, it should be reviewed.
You know what's really changed the NFL the most?
TV.
Technology.
Oh, absolutely. And that's just it. I don't understand. With the technology they have, they should not be making these mistakes, and they still are. Now, we've had 2 weeks, was it 2 or 3 weeks in a row, that we've had games affected, the ending was affected because of fuck-ups by the referees.
That's been the story of the NFL for a while.
Well, fix your fucking shit. Quit worrying about what somebody's wearing.
They work on both. And I think when it comes down to the stuff that they wear, granted, like I said before, the whole cancer thing, that's, I agree with the NFL. The eye pain thing, that's where I don't agree with the NFL. But I think it all boils down to three letters, CBA.
Yeah, that CBA is so fucked up. Because honestly, that CBA, they do whatever they want. The contracts mean absolutely nothing. Look at Cam Chancellor. He decided he wanted more money, so he just didn't fucking play. What the fuck do you have a contract for?
That's the thing about contracts. We get the same thing in like professional wrestling. People are like, well, you got a contract. Why don't you do that? I don't think those contracts are as binding as people think. There has to be some sort of wiggle room, and there has to be those freedoms to do stuff like that.
It irritates me. And I think there's going to be another big test of the, I think it's the CBA that affects the, when a college player is eligible for the draft. We're going to have a big test of that next year with the kid out of LSU, Fournette, I think is his name. Fournette, maybe. But he's only a freshman, and he is a man amongst boys as a fucking freshman. There's a lot of talk that he may not play college ball next year, and he's not eligible for the draft. So he's going to have to sit out a year, and I don't blame him if he does. I mean, he's taking a chance to go play, you know, play in another college year for free and taking a chance on injury.
That's like Manziel. He probably should have stayed in college like two more years to get better, but he took the quick way out.
Oh, I'll never blame a player that wants not to play in college to go have a chance to make money.
Yeah.
Because your window for playing is very small. I think the average running back is like 3 years in the NFL. If even that long.
Who was the player that stayed in school? That was Luck, right?
Luck played all 4 years at Stanford.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think they were talking about him coming out of the third year. He's like, no, I'm going to stay one more year. I'm going to finish this up, which, smart, very smart with him.
Oh, very, very smart. But then again, you also have a guy like Willis McGahee, who stayed his senior year, I believe, to win the try to win, and Ohio State beat him, the national championship. But that also cost him a full year of the NFL because he blew out his leg in the championship game. How much money did he cost himself? How much of his career did he cost himself because he stayed that extra year in college?
It's a gamble either way.
I don't see it as a gamble. I think if you come out and you show on tape what you can do, I got no problem with him. You know, as long as he works out and he's dedicated to working out and staying in shape, fucking play tiddlywinks for a fucking year. You know what I mean?
But sometimes if you stay in school an extra year, you could up your draft stock. Like, oh, I might be I'm looking at being a second round pick. You know, if I come back next year, if I come back to school another year and get better or something, or maybe someone's going to be a low first round pick and they're like, I want that high first round pick money, so I'm going to stay in another year.
Oh, absolutely. But I think, honest to God, if Fournette could declare for the draft after this year, he would be a top 5 to 10 pick. And there's no reason for him to stay in college at that point. I just thought of somebody that it did cost majorly, and that is Maurice Claret. He had to stay the extra year in college because of the age restrictions, and it cost him basically his NFL career because he was shit after his college. He was just fucked.
All right, let's get into our tweets.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it happens. Let me see. I think we can start off with...
Go Bears, skip Andy's.
No, there's one from Ant that we didn't read last week because he sent it afterwards. I'm just debating whether it's relevant because I never really look at these until showtime. And hashtag NFL Easy Picks. So this week looks like a bullshit cut and shut week. I'm going against the grain in just one. And it didn't pay that well off for you. Or did it? No, can't remember because I don't have it up right now.
I think he was right there with us at the fucking 8 or 9 spot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm saying it didn't go like fucking Mart or anything like that.
No, actually this week I had a lot of hard time trying to pick underdogs to win.
And I think this could be a response, and I was going to bring this up later. I meant to bring this up earlier, I should say, to something that I posted on Facebook. And Ant says, I've got no issue for a Pats slash Green Bay Super Bowl. It's 50 this year and would be the best of the 21st century versus the original dominant hashtag NFL easy picks. Something that I said, I asked on Sunday, was of all the undefeated teams, who's going to be the last one left standing? Not necessarily like who's going to go undefeated, just like when the last team falls of undefeated, who's it going to be?
It's between those two, clearly.
Those two could very well be 19-0 going into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at the two divisions, I think the Jets are going to give New England a lot of trouble. But I don't see the Packers division. I don't see any team in that division really giving Green Bay a game. I mean, somebody is going to and probably is going to beat them. But can you really take Chicago to beat Green Bay again? Or Detroit to beat Green Bay? Or Minnesota to beat Green Bay?
Seeing how the Bears' next game against Green Bay is Thanksgiving Day game.
We're sorry.
In Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm double sorry.
The night that they are retiring Brett Favre's number.
Can you say 50 to 6?
Oh, God. Sucks. But I said 19-0. It actually would be 18-0, if I'm correct, going into the Super Bowl, if they both go undefeated.
No, they would have to win two playoff games, because they have to win the championship game and the divisional round game. And
they would be 18-0
going in. I got you. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, They'd both be 18-0 going in. I mentioned on Facebook, I would call that the biggest bullshit in football, because these two teams going in undefeated, which there's only one team since the Dolphins that have done that, have just gone into the Super Bowl undefeated, and that was the Patriots when they lost. But that's so rare. And then to see it again, that was 2007. So 8 years later, like, that's eight, to me, that just seems way too close. And on the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl, for Super Bowl 50, that's when I'm just like, it's too good to be true type thing.
Yeah, that would be a little unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. It is possible, just not likely.
Yeah, very unlikely that either team that we see ever see another undefeated going into the Super Bowl team.
Or we could see it be the Bengals.
No,
versus
dude, come on. No, I'm
a... What would you do? What would you do? Bengals going to the Super Bowl 18-0.
Probably shit myself.
Yeah, you'd be shitting yourself after the 17th victory in a row with them winning the first playoff game ever.
Yeah, I'm a realistic fan. They still have to play Pittsburgh twice. They still have to go to Arizona. They still have to play Baltimore again. They got to play Cleveland twice. It's not going
to
happen.
They have to play Cleveland in primetime.
Oh yeah, and they got to play Houston in primetime too.
I have confidence in them against.
Oh no, there's another primetime game coming up towards the end of the season too.
You would think it's got to be divisional.
Probably. It'd probably be a Thursday night game again. Although they might got two Monday night games this year. They've been pretty consistently good.
I like the whole thing of having everybody play one Thursday night game. Are we still going with the division thing?
Yeah, no, all the Thursday games are divisional games, yes.
Minus week one and Thanksgiving. Which, it's like, they say, like, oh, we have 14 Thursday night games a year. I'm like, yeah, but you technically have 16. Because you, like, Thanksgiving, those are, I don't care those are, or let's just say they're Thursday night football. I'm like, yeah, those are Thursday games, so I'm going to count that.
Well, they have a Thursday night game that day, too.
Yeah, but they don't count, but that's not the official, like, Thursday night football game. You know what I mean?
They do have an official Thursday night game that week.
It's not, quote, Thursday night football, though. You know what I'm saying?
Are you sure about that? Because I thought they had three games. They have two day games and then one traditional Thursday night game.
Traditional as in how it's set up with...
On the NFL Network.
Yes,
it's on the NFL. It's now on NFL Network and CBS, but it used to be just the NFL Network had that Thursday night game.
Not for Thanksgiving, no. Thanksgiving, because of how commercial and everything is, no, that hasn't... They make sure they throw those on other fucking channels, too. I'm trying to throw up...
Dude, I, I, I'm...
about 90% sure the first 2 years they did it, it was only on the NFL Network for that Thursday night game on Thanksgiving. Actually, it was all of the Thursday night games were only on the NFL Network. They just started CBS.
Yeah, those are Thanksgiving. That's what I'm talking about. Thanksgiving.
The Thursday night game, that Thanksgiving night game is one of their Thursday night games.
No, it's not. It's going to, they put them on three networks because it's a, what kind of holiday it is. They want people to, it's like Christmas, have stuff on NBC, Fox, and CBS. Of the three games, there is one on every channel. NBC will have Green Bay and the Bears. Fox will have, that's the night game, and that's on NBC. The early game is Eagles and Lions. That's going to be on Fox. The 4:30 game is going to be on CBS, and that's the Cowboys and Panthers, and then they're ending it on NBC.
So it's all NFC games?
Yeah, there's not a bias, which oddly enough, that is technically a divisional game, but it's not NBC. But it's not a Thursday night football game. Quote. Just like whenever whenever they start the season, even though that's a Thursday game and it's not the traditional divisional game, they don't count it because they, for some weird reason, they always call it Sunday night football.
Is it on ESPN or NBC?
I never remember who has a kickoff.
If it's on NBC, then yes, it's their traditional, the Sunday night game or whatever. And that's probably compensation because they don't get one the last week of the year. Which I believe is the reason they do two Monday night games the first week of the year, is because they don't have a Monday night game week 17 either.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's network.
I always thought they did it just like for the Monday night game beginning of the year, because it's just like way to make week one like that much bigger.
Now, did you hear that one of the Thursday night games that the now NFL Network / CBS has is going to be broadcast also on Yahoo?
No, I thought that was one of the England games.
Was it one of the next, I thought it was one of the Thursday games, but it might have been one of the England games.
No, it's the this next England game. I keep hearing commercials for it. I think I hear them talk about it on Westwood One.
Yeah, there's another wonderful fucking radio outfit.
I love Westwood One.
Oh my god, I hate those announcers.
They're better when I love them because they're not biased. Whenever you listen to normal calls of games on XM, it's only the home feed.
And
that's actually one reason why I didn't listen to either of the games for the Browns and the Bears, because they were both playing away, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to these away calls, because almost every away call, or should say every home call, is going to be biased to that home field. The most unbiased, in my opinion, is the Browns. The guy, Mark Donovan, he really gets, like, to me, he just gets into the game. But I like with national calls, they're unbiased.
I see that's where me and you differ. I like the flavor of a home, you know, the local radio guys. I like
You're listening to your local, that's the
thing. No. I jump on TuneIn Radio and pull up, like, if I'm trying to find, let's say, listen to Chicago. Oh God, who did they beat right at the end of the game a couple weeks ago?
Oakland?
Was it? It might have been Oakland, but I pulled up. It was Oakland's home call. And yeah, dude, I like some flavor to the call. I don't want just generic. Well, he just threw the ball 10 yards, completion.
No, they're not like that in Westwood One. Like, whenever someone makes a completion, and it doesn't matter what team it is. And he got a first down. But normally with home calls, it's whenever it's that their team, yeah, they'll throw in that kind of call, but they'll just be like, all right, throw the ball, and it's a first down for them. Like, that's when they don't show any emphasis, when it's the other team.
I like that. I like flavor. I don't know. To me, it's just, when you're listening to the national call on like Westwood One, it's old people radio, and it just, ugh.
Yeah, so why don't you like it?
Because I want flavor to it. I would love.
You said it's old people radio, so why don't you like it?
You know what what to me would be ideal? You put a comic on every single announce table and let them, like, kind of have free will to make jokes. That would make fucking the perfect radio booth to me.
Oh, yeah, but...
They won't do it, but, you know. That brings up another thing, and I, well, whatever, if we got time. The woman that did the baseball call and caught all the fucking backlash because people are fucking stupid idiots. Would that bother you if a woman did an NFL game?
Depends. Because it's like, look at wrestling. Like, Renee Young, like, she wasn't that good.
Yeah, she didn't. She didn't really bring anything.
Mm-hmm. She's more of a, I mean, granted, she's definitely more of a visual type of person, but she does great with interviews. Because she does great with conversation.
Right.
But when it comes to, like, everything on commentary, it just didn't work.
Yeah, she does very good with the round tables and things like that, too. But if it's somebody that is, like, witty, knows what she's talking about, and can hang, would you have a problem with it?
Probably not.
Yeah, see, I don't know how good the lady did on the game, because it's baseball. But she did one, I think it was one of the ESPN games, and there was a big backlash about, you know, I don't want to listen to a woman listen to calling my goddamn sports. But, I mean, if you can call the game and you're entertaining, fucking call the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into more tweets.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry again.
One from Mr. DRG. After the first quarter of their first NFL season, which rookie running back do you expect the most out of their career? Hashtag NFL easy picks.
He kind of asked that same question before, too. I think it was last week, didn't he? About the rookie? No, that was
he asked which
offensive rookie. It was just overall offensive rookie.
It was a fantasy question, okay? Because the one I passed, because I'll double check if there was anything else there. It was which rookie running back ends with most total fantasy points?
Oh, okay. Best career for a rookie running back. I hate to, you know, to glom on to everybody else, but Todd Gurley. That dude, wow. And I think he's got the team that he's around has the most potential for growth and to be good. You look at like Amir Abdullah, that team in Detroit is just bad. Melvin Gordon, that team in San Diego is a train wreck. TJ Yeldon, maybe. I just don't see him being TJ Yeldon ever being a centerpiece back.
What about Duke?
Duke Johnson? I need to see more. He still doesn't have enough of the... He's not getting enough of the carries per game to really give an indicator of how good or bad he can be. I think he's always going to be a kind of a change of the pace guy because if I'm not mistaken, he's a smaller dude, kind of smaller, shiftier kind of guy.
I think that's the thing, too, with like running backs. There's like different kinds of running backs. I mean, you have like your high performance dynamic ones like Adrian Peterson and Matt Forte. And Forte, you know, has his own thing where he can actually be a receiver. But you also have running backs who I think it kind of overshadowed, but they're still really good, is like Frank Gore.
Frank Gore's, I think he's right on the borderline of a Hall of Famer. But I think him and Matt Forte are going to have the same problem, and it's that you're playing behind in the same era with guys like Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles, who are putting up just out fucking outrageous numbers on good teams, or well, semi good teams, and it just, I think they're going to have problems getting into the Hall of Fame there, but all are good. Very, very good.
Next one from DRG. In honor of @AA_WIR, let's go hashtag Texans, hashtag NFL Easy Picks.
And that worked about as good as fucking Andy's did for the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. And actually, did he send one? Because I'll get that out of the way right now. Yeah. Go Bears, hashtag NFL Easy Picks, which your Bears were going up against your Chiefs. So what did it matter?
Can I just say go Bengals?
Sure.
There we go.
Mr. DRG, one of these days, my undying loyalty towards the hashtag Texans will pay off, and I'll get a win in the hashtag NFL Easy Picks Pick'em League with them.
Yeah. I did that this week. I like I said, I changed my pick. The sad thing is unless you get a quarterback, I don't know what you're going to do.
One from @TheMoop. Jaquai?
Yeah, that's real close.
at HeavySet330, at NFL Easy Picks. Enough bad shit gets posted. How about some good? And it was an article of, I vaguely remember this one.
It was like 10 Browns players that donated their time to go out and play with some kids and stuff. It's just, you know, you hear all the bad shit that players do, like fucking the wife beater Greg Hardy and all the bullshit he's pulled. You don't hear like this.
All the shit that he talked.
Oh, well, no, just, I don't care if he talks. It's, he beat his fucking wife and went to.
But did you hear the shit, the weird shit that he said before the game?
Telling Brady to bring his wife.
Yeah.
And he beat the fuck out of Brady for the first two series of the game. And then and then they schemed around it and figured out how to beat it. But I'm just tired of hearing all the bad. I mean, seriously, Cam Newton, this was a couple of weeks ago. There was a kid that was, I think he was dying of cancer and was having a birthday party early, if I'm not mistaken, because he may not have made it to his birthday. He rented or bought a ice cream truck, personally drove it down to the kid's birthday party and, you know, served the ice cream to the kid. And, you know, that shit doesn't get reported enough, and it really should.
Well, it all gets reported, but like, it's just how far it goes. A lot of times within market, it's going to get a lot of buzz, but sometimes it's just traveling outside. It depends on where it'll go.
Right.
I vaguely remember hearing about that. I always,
there was
Browns are always doing stuff in around the community.
Yeah, I know.
Stuff like that.
Cribs was real good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Cribs
was good as shit. I want to, he still is in the area now. Because he's not playing.
And, you know, as much shit as you can talk about Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, or whatever, he does do a lot of charity-type work like that. There's a couple of, like, comedy clubs down here, and they would run little contests. And it's stuff that he would donate, you know, to the club for charity to do things. They were having a trouble selling out one of the games, one of the Bengals home games, and this was when they weren't very good. He bought up something like 2,000 tickets and basically gave them out to the veterans, just gave them to them. A couple of years ago, I think it was Romo, there was a story come out that he basically saw some homeless guy on the street. And, you know, invited the guy to go to a movie. I think it was a movie and dinner with him and did. And that stuff doesn't get reported enough. There was another one with Romo. I think he was going down the highway and there was somebody, this car broke down or something, and Romo pulled over, picked the guy up and took care of him. You don't hear enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of irritating. Instead, we have to hear about, you know, oh, did Ben Roethlisberger rape that woman in the... I don't fuck him.
You kind of remember one thing. It's not that they don't get reported. It's how, like, bad news travels fast.
And that's bullshit. That's what's wrong. That's one of the many things wrong with society.
It is what it is.
Fucking assholes.
I'm now going to look up good stories of Tom Brady, and I wanted to share them with you.
Oh, that's not going to change my opinion. I'm sure the guy is a wonderful person, but fuck him. He's, in my opinion, he's overrated in terms of the greatest quarterback of all time.
I love Tom Brady.
I despise the hype of Tom Brady.
At times, I want to buy a Tom Brady jersey.
At times, I want to burn a Tom Brady jersey.
Love Tom Brady.
Greatest system quarterback to ever play.
To your opinion. You'll never know, probably. Well, you'll never know because I think when Brady retires, Belichick's going to retire. And I think, that's just one way you'll never really get a taste. And you won't see them. Yeah, well, I take that back. There is a possibility that maybe one day they get rid of Tom Brady, but it's like, it's not in the foreseeable future. So it makes it look not possible. Like we were talking after that Kansas City game last year. Oh yeah, that seemed like a couple years away. But not since that's the last game. No, that wasn't the last game they lost. They lost another one.
Yeah, they've lost games since then. It's just, that was the game that he looked so bad. Tom Brady is not going to go anywhere else. I don't foresee him ever doing like what Brett Favre did. I don't know.
If he has to start, he has to go on a decline like Peyton. He has to do something Peyton Manning-esque where the franchise goes, we should cut our loss. Like, we should just sever ties before it starts getting bad and we look bad.
And to be fair, I don't think Tom Brady will ever let it get to that point.
No.
I mean, he's got – and that's what I don't understand about Peyton. The guy's got zero to prove. He's got – well, he's got to prove he can win big games, but that's another problem, which he's never going to be able to do now. He's got tons of money. Why – what are you trying to prove? I don't get it. Just – you look terrible.
Yeah.
And I really don't think Brady ever lets that happen to himself.
Mm-hmm. See, we did have the one really good story, at least the one that I liked, about Tom Brady recently of, you know, he actually gives money to practice squad members when they intercept him.
Oh, I fucking love that. To be honest, that is one of the coolest things I've ever heard from anybody. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just he's helping these guys that aren't really making much. He's actually trying to make them better. He's challenging them.
He's trying to make them better, and he's trying to make himself better.
Absolutely. And that's fucking cool as hell. I still don't like him. He's still an ass. He needs to take his hair and fucking burn it.
Of course, you don't like any Pittsburgh Steelers either. I mean, but I've always said, like, I don't like any Pittsburgh Steeler, but if I ever got a chance to meet Troy Polamalu, I'd take it.
I'm sure there's some guys that if I was to really look down the roster and say, yeah, I like him. I like Le'Veon Bell. I really like Le'Veon Bell. He's a fucking Steeler.
I was really going to like him, but then I got high. Anyway, move on. One from Miguel, which I think he kind of spoke too soon. What time did he send this tweet? That time can't be right. Anyway. How about that Hoyer guy? Should Cleveland have kept him? Hashtag NFL Easy Picks. No.
If I remember right, Hoyer wasn't awful, but it's another mediocre quarterback. Whatever.
He couldn't score against the Colts when the defense was making Andrew Luck look like the Andrew Luck that's playing now, or kind of playing now.
You mean made Hasselbeck look like the Andrew Luck of old?
Yeah. So,
and like, you know, like we talked about before, Vic actually showed what he could do on the field. Good receivers are going to make a quarterback look really good. When you have T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief, Andre Johnson, and then you have Frank Gore, you can cover up a lot of warts of a quarterback.
Yep. But yeah, I don't think Brown should have kept him. And if you want to get technical, look at how fucking McCown did this week.
Yeah, if I remember right, he was asking for a boatload of money, and he's not worth a boatload of money.
Yeah, which we'll get into more about McCown. I already said the Andy tweet. Ant. Charles limps off the field. That's my fantasy over in all leagues. Cunt.
Dude.
Hashtag NFL Easy Picks.
That is one guy that I've heard nothing but good things about. I feel so bad for that guy. Because this is the second time in his career that this has happened. I believe it's the other knee now. He's had torn both ACLs. You feel so bad for a guy like that. So much talent. And he sounds like, but from everything I've heard from interviews from people that kind of know him, he's a good dude. And you just feel bad for the guy.
He's the Derrick Rose of the NFL.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Another tweet from Ant. For the first 7 games, the Giants will have played just 2 Sunday early games. Someone shoot the schedulers in the face for me. Hashtag NFL Easy Picks. I'm not going to lie. After the end of the Giants games this past Sunday night, I was going to tweet you, Ant, with a fake spoiler that the Giants lost.
That would have been fun. Especially if he just started watching the game and watching all the way up to the fourth quarter. He'd be like, a motherfucker spoiled me. Motherfucker, bitch. Cunt, motherfucker. And then they win in the last, what was it, minute and a half?
Yeah.
But so now, nice. Scheduling-wise, there's a couple of little quirky things. I think it's Arizona and Seattle. I think it's those two play. They play like 2 weeks, 2 of the last 3 weeks of the year, they play both their games. It's really weird how they did it. There's some little quirky things like that.
I always think being a scheduler of the NFL is really hard because you're not just scheduling when these games are going to be and all that kind of stuff. You're scheduling around other things.
Oh, God, yes. You know, like the World Cup soccer games or the whatever the soccer game was that they just had. You know, you got to schedule around that. Baseball games, you gotta
hope the fucking A's aren't doing anything.
That's such a travesty at this day and age to have that team still playing in the same stadium. That's a travesty.
And technically just as bad too. You got to hope the Orioles aren't doing anything. Granted, they're two different stadiums, but they share a parking lot.
Oh yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
and there's not enough parking to fill both stadiums.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's
why they had to move the season opener to Denver, because Orioles had a game and they were like, "Oops, sorry."
Yeah, you're kind of juggling knives at that point.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to juggle two teams in New York.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, those guys are. I mean, they're really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm. So much shit that goes on. But I think normally, other than that, like unlike like basketball and hockey, it's like those stuff. They got to schedule around like concerts and everything.
I think it's more of the concerts have to schedule around them.
Well, look at well, it depends. Well, postseason.
Yeah, postseason becomes a problem, yes. Who was it? Wasn't there, like, Denver or something a couple years ago had, like,
Raw?
Was it Raw?
Yep, they had to move to L.A.
Yeah, something weird happened and they ended up having to move. But, yeah, it's, I can only imagine the logistics that goes into, not on a team level. Team level's a whole nother fucking problem. But on the overall level of getting, like, when you start adding England games and you have to give those guys buys on their way back. And, wow, just, that's fucking amazing what they do.
Mm-hmm. I don't like, though, and I never noticed it until this year, because I always thought they planned around it, but now there's two teams that have had it, and the bonus bye week, as I call it, or extra bye week, however you want to put it, of playing a Thursday night game and then playing a Monday night game.
Well, the Thursday night games, every week Thursday night games are kind of still a newer thing. I think there was one last year that they made a big deal out of. I want to say it was New England that got that benefit last year. But yeah, it happens. Little quirky things happen. For the most part, those guys get it right for the most part.
Are you saying that because the Bengals are benefiting from it?
What can you say? You know what I mean? Can you really crap on somebody for giving a couple extra days?
I'm curious to see how the Bengals do coming off of that.
You mean going from playing Cleveland to playing Houston?
But what I'm saying is, it's not how they're going to play the Thursday night game. It's how they're going to play that Monday night game.
Well, and both games are home games, which is even better.
Shit.
Yeah, and then but see, the following week, they have to go after the Monday night home game, they have to go to Arizona.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is put up or shut up time for the Bengals. If they come out of this with three or four wins, I will be a lot more confident in them. But I could very easily see them losing four of these games because it's the fucking Bengals, and that's what they do. They go into Pittsburgh to an inferior team and lose. They lose to the inferior Browns because it's a fucking night game, and inferior Houston team because it's a night game. And in Arizona, I kind of expect that to be the loss.
Another one from Ant. It's more believable than never mind. RMH tweeted him something. Oh, that the Earth's rotation helped the Bengals win, and Ant responded back. It's more believable than Dalton's hair being the deciding factor. As we all know, gingers haven't got souls. #NFL Easy Picks.
I sent out a meme about this. They do have a soul. They get a freckle every time they collect one.
Yeah, that's an old thing. I know that one.
It's very true. So that would mean, oh God, what's her name? The one that thought she was Marilyn Monroe. Oh, what is her name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, Jesus. The fucking chick that did, like, the Marilyn Monroe poses a couple of years ago was a kid actor.
Oh, Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan. She must have a lot of souls.
I'd like to give her my soul. I'd still do that.
I ain't giving her a soul. I'll give her some semen.
We talked about that on Anything Goes, I think, before. Here's one from Andy that I kind of alluded to earlier. Hashtag NFL Easy Picks. McCown completed 36 of 51 throws for 457 yards and two touchdowns, and broke a single game franchise record of 440 for Maybe You Should Like Him. Okay, let's look at that real quick. I'm going to try to pull up everything. 457 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to pull up Joe Flacco's numbers at the same time.
Oh, they were pretty good too. That was a very highly offensive game. But
they were lower, I know that.
Oh yeah, they weren't as good, but they were still pretty good too. But I kind of think that's the problem with the Browns. Their formula is not to have McCown throw 50 times a game and win. If you can keep McCown between 20 and 25 passes a game, mm-hmm. that's where you want McCown to be. You want them running that football and putting up a good defense, which has not happened this year yet.
Once again, looking at the actual stats from the game, McCown was 36 for 51, 457 yards for two touchdowns. Now, Joe Flacco, what should I say, that got the Browns 33 points. Obviously, there's other things that went into that, but 33 points. Joe Flacco was 19 for 35. He had less attempts than McCown did completions. 210 yards, one touchdown, and that was 30 points.
Oh, really? It was that low? Oh, that's mm-hmm. right, because Forsett had like 150 yards rushing.
121.
Yeah, I knew he had a really good game.
One touchdown.
But that's kind of also the problem with the Browns, though.
Also, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4 field goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are 457 yards. That's great. You shouldn't have a kicker who had to kick four field goals, and that was that's including overtime. A 43-yarder in the first quarter, another 43-yarder, and a 37-yarder in the second quarter, and to end the game with a 32-yarder.
I also wonder, because I watched the little bits I got to see of this, was every fucking play was a penalty. Almost every fucking play, it seemed like.
Yeah, they are getting killed for penalties. It's because I think, I don't know the average of this team, but I want to say this is technically a young team, and that's where you're going to get all that shit.
Who, Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cleveland is a very young team, except their offensive line. Their offensive line is really not that young of a team. They should be performing I don't want to say performing, but they shouldn't be getting holding penalties, offside penalties, the stupid little fucking penalties that are costing all these teams as much as they are. It's ridiculous the amount of penalties that are going on.
I mean, as I'm saying this, I'm trying to check all my fantasy leagues and see if they have fucking Coons picked up. I'm willing to bet that almost all of them, because no one checks kickers. Fuck, if they're going to keep depending on this motherfucker, I might as well pick. Ooh, do I want to get rid of him? I'm going to get rid of Gold. Fuck it. Sorry, Gold.
Yeah, I don't know if I would trust Coon this week, though.
No, I do trust him, because that's probably the only way they're going to put fucking points on the board.
I don't know if they're going to get across midfield against Denver's defense.
The Browns' defense will be the one to get them in that area.
If Denver doesn't learn how to run the ball, yeah, I think the Browns' defense can shut down the Broncos' offense. Problem is if they learn how to run the ball, and Cleveland's a good team to learn how to run the ball against, I think it's going to be a long day for Cleveland.
You know it's a better team? The Saints.
It's better for what?
Learn to run on.
Oh, yeah, God, that defense is bad.
DeMarco Murray.
Dude, there's a couple of really bad run defenses out there. San Francisco's one of them.
Of all my leagues, only one of them had had Coons picked up, but I understand that was my local league of friends. So, okay, yeah, there's a Browns fans in there. But anyway, let's get back to the actual point of
Yeah, I don't think tweet. Anybody's going to put up a fight so you can have the Coons.
Yeah. McCown, he had one good game, Andy. That's like Cutler. Okay, let's say Cutler had the exact same game. He could do that. I can see Cutler throwing for 36, 51, 457 yards and two touchdowns, and maybe no picks.
I'm sure
would
he has.
You, Would you love Cutler for that? No, because you know that there's that other Cutler, and I know there's that other Josh McCown. And like we mentioned, yeah, he threw for 457 yards, but the kicker had to kick four field goals for 12 points, which could have been 28, so a difference of 16. It's got Snyder. I'm going to make sure I'm getting it right.
Yeah. And like I said, if Cleveland had more, I want to say, talent around them, you know, on the offense, he doesn't throw for 50 times a game. You're not going to win many games with Josh McCown throwing 50 times a game. If he's on a good team, he is Alex Smith. You know, he throws 20 to 25 times. Maybe he doesn't make any mistakes. That's what McCown should be, not throwing 50 times a game.
And it's like I mentioned earlier about stats are for losers. Keep looking at stats, we'll keep looking at wins.
Stats are for losers, but stats do not lie either.
Stats don't lie, but when it comes down to the main thing you're looking at, the number one stat is wins. Because you could have games like that all the time, but if you're not winning, it doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure wins aren't all that matter because Vince Young had a very good win-loss record, but was not good at all.
Wins are all that matter, period. But they go in an order. You have to have enough wins to make it to the postseason. And then when you're in that, you have to have enough, you have to go undefeated to go to the championship. And then you have to win. But it's all about winning.
But when you start looking at individual players and evaluating them, well, if you look at McCown's 400 and some yards this week, but you look back at what he does on a normal everyday basis, which one of those do you believe?
I believe the normal everyday basis.
Exactly. So this is a fucking fluke. Just.
But what I was saying is like the number one stat of being wins, but that's what I look at. Okay. Right now, and it's very much just a present thing. He got one win. He can keep this up. Let's say like this formula works with McCown and the offense, like to get those numbers. But the main thing is winning.
But there's always like so much goes into a win. There are some Dan Marino. Dan Marino may be the best quarterback to ever play the game, but never won a Super Bowl. Does that make him less of a quarterback? Or was his team's just not very fucking good?
His team just wasn't very fucking good.
Right. So is it McCown's fault that they've lost all of those games that he's played in?
I kind of give him a little bit of, I don't know whether to give him a credit or slack or against him, whatever, the week one. They might have won if he didn't get fucking knocked.
Yeah, well, you know.
I have a GIF keyboard on my phone, and I typed in Browns, and literally they have a GIF in there from that game of him running in, getting hit, and doing the helicopter.
Yeah, who was the? Well, I think it was a Dolphins receiver from the old NFL Films clips. Was that Clayton that did that? The receiver.
Not sure.
Who?
Not sure.
But you know who I'm talking about.
No.
Oh, really? You've never seen that clip? It's just one of the old school, like 70s, 80s players doing almost the exact same spin. It's really uncanny how similar they are.
But yeah, so I'm looking at it. He's got one win. That's why it's not about him, me liking him. Like, he has to prove that he's not the Tampa Bay McCown.
No, I think we're seeing what the Tampa Bay, what the problem in Tampa was. The whole fucking team.
We'll see. Because I don't have enough faith in this team. If he could squeak out on his own, I'm not counting as a team, so throw Manziel's win out the window for this conversation. If he can get four or five wins, and so that means three or four more wins, I would change my opinion on him. But right now, no.
I think wins are going to be so hard to come by. Until they get their shit together.
Before I forget, because I mean this kind of goes in with it too. I look at it like Brandon Whedon, who when we drafted him, I wasn't high on him either. But he played good. He played pretty good against the Saints and made you think like, oh, this guy's going to be great. Not great, but he's going to do decent until Romo gets back. Then he goes up against the Patriots and got made look like a bitch.
Yeah, but to be fair, the Patriots are going to make a lot of people look like that. And to be honest, Whedon wasn't the reason they lost some of those other games.
I know, but...
And if you want to talk about the Cowboys, who the fuck is Whedon throwing to? Terrence Williams and... yeah. So basically, if you're a defense, you have to block Jason Whedon and whoever the running back is, because there's no way Terrence Williams is beating anybody.
All right, we kind of need to get into...
Yeah, we need to get this moving.
We got three more tweets. They're all from DRG, and DRG's like, he threw these in today, like all 6 hours ago. Like, granted, I know what you're trying to do, but it's like, you want us to put way more thinking into a tweet than we should.
It may not be that much thought.
Sure. DRG, with Charles out this season, who do you see finishing as the top five fantasy running backs this season? Hashtag NFL's fix. DRG's got a hard on for running backs.
Well, because it is such a, in fantasy, dude, fucking running backs are atrocious. Oh my God, dude. This is no lie. You're looking at like Le'Veon Bell, Adrian Peterson, and that's about it. That is what I can guarantee you is going to be in the top five. I would also throw Devontae Freeman in there.
Forte,
I think can
as
be.
As of right now, he has the most yards by running back. Granted, it's going to change, but
total yards. Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to remember who is leading the league. I want to say it's Freeman is leading the league right now in rushing yards. But you got like Eddie Lacy. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's not been good. He's not been good at all. DeMarco Murray's not been good at all. Jeremy Hill was a early first round draft pick. He's been very bad. CJ Anderson has been really bad. You know, picking five guys, I mean, if I have to pick five, I'm going to go Bell, Peterson, Foster, Lacy, Freeman is my five.
We'll keep that with his and move on. DRG says, Tyrod Taylor expected to miss this week. Yeah, motherfuckers. Who do you target off the waivers? Cutler, Bortles, Tannehill, Manuel, McCown, Cousins, hashtag NFL easy picks. I would pick a gun.
If I have to pick, actually, it's probably, I can't remember who everybody plays on, like, cause I don't have it looking at it. It's going to be a week to week thing. And I think Bortles would be my pick right now. He's got like 3 weeks in a row where he's been in the 20s as a fantasy quarterback. And he's got a pretty favorable matchup this week against, I want to say Houston. I can't remember off the top of my head who they play, but I think he's got a pretty favorable matchup this week. Houston doesn't scare me at all on defense right now. Cutler up in Detroit is another really, really good one, especially, oh my God, if he gets Jeffries back, Cutler is probably going to, is my 1A or 1B to Bortles. If you're talking rest of the season, I would think probably Bortles, because the schedule is going to be so much better for Jacksonville than it is going to be for Cutler in Chicago.
We'll do a little experiment here. I'm getting into the WIR league, into the cursed fucking team that I have.
Boy.
Oh, yeah, Brandon Marshall coming back good. That's points on my fucking roster.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall's been fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We talk about this. He's kind of like a poison. He comes and goes.
Yeah, I really think that last year in Chicago, he was banged up more than they ever let on.
It was a banged up and it was a dysfunctional team.
Oh, very dysfunctional.
So it didn't add to it, help to it. All right, I want to get rid of Tyrod Taylor.
No, I wouldn't drop him.
I didn't say I was. I said I want to get rid of him. But I'm going to look into who is available as the quarterback spot. I'm going to rank it by fantasy points. We have available in the league, Blake Bortles, Phillip Rivers, Josh McCown, which I want to see what he got last. Holy fuck.
Oh, he killed it last week, dude. He was the number one fantasy quarterback last week.
13.2 projected, 42.48.
Right, but when you start looking at picking somebody up, because what you're talking about is somebody to replace Tyrod until he comes back, correct?
Not in my league. Well, not in this. For me, it's I'm going to get rid of Tyrod Taylor, and I want someone to last until Romo comes back, because that's my main quarterback.
God. Honestly, Tyrod right now, I believe, is a top 10 quarterback in fantasy, in terms of fantasy points. I don't know. I mean, I would never recommend keeping three quarterbacks, but goddamn, it would be really hard to put him out there, because what happens is, if you drop him, I will almost guarantee he's not going to be there next week to pick him back up. If he plays, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a great matchup. No, this is bad matchup for Tyrod.
Somebody in this league picked up Roethlisberger.
Yeah, dude, top three quarterback. He will be a top three fantasy quarterback when he comes back. You have Brady. You have Rodgers.
It was you.
Exactly right. Top three. I can't believe he was on the fucking waiver wire.
Yeah, I had two injured quarterbacks.
Yeah, you got kind of.
And it would have been four.
I think I would have rather dropped Romo, because Romo would have been out a little longer. And I actually like Roethlisberger better, and I like Romo as a fantasy quarterback.
It depends. If they would both be healthy, and if Dez Bryant would be healthy too, I'd have more confidence in Romo.
Oh, no, not me, dude. I would have easily taken Roethlisberger over Romo, because Roethlisberger has Antonio Brown. They have, I would say, Pittsburgh, healthy Pittsburgh team.
He also has Bell.
Yeah, he does. And that actually will help Roethlisberger, because it takes some of the pressure off the passing game. Pittsburgh, when they're healthy, might have the best offense in football. Their defense is fucking god-awful, but their offense is legit.
But I had more faith in Romo. That's who I was planning on using more and more.
And the problem is he broke his collarbone, right?
I think so.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was throwing arm or not throwing arm, but I don't know if I trust an injury like that on a guy who uses his shoulder that much.
At the same time, him and Roethlisberger, they're both fairly injury prone.
Yeah, well, I think Roethlisberger's a little less injury prone, but I don't think Roethlisberger's only missed like three games over the last four seasons.
I'm not talking I'm talking career, not that's just past four seasons. They've both missed. I think Romo's been injured less occasions, but more games.
Yeah, because Romo's had the fucking major ones. I think he broke something a couple of years ago and was out like the last six games of the year then, too.
I think last year might have been the first year in a while that Roethlisberger wasn't out for one reason or another, for like something.
Yeah, did you, I think it was Rivers that I saw the stat on Monday night, said that he had like the fourth longest starting streak amongst quarterbacks, like ever. That's kind of impressive and kind of has gone unnoticed. Like consecutive starts, it was like 180 something or something like that. It was pretty impressive, the number of starts he had.
Going back to the quarterbacks,
another guy out there that I like a lot. When you get like that, you're looking at streaming quarterbacks. So you look at guys that have good matchups when you play Tennessee, when you play some of these really bad defenses. That's where you want to find even like a Blake Bortles. When he's playing a Tampa Bay or a Tennessee, those are good matchups for him. And even the games that they play like New England, he's still got like 25 to 30 points, because it was all junk time.
Going back, who's available? Blake Bortles, top, Phillip Rivers, McCown, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, which I won't even touch him. Fantasy-wise, he hasn't been too bad, really.
No, Winston's not been terrible, but you're still looking at a guy that could go out there as a quarterback and get you 5 points on a week. You know, and at the quarterback position, you can't win like that.
He gets you projections.
Yeah, but it's matchups. It's, you know, you look at like those names you just named, you know, McCown has a god awful matchup this week. Rivers has a bad matchup this week. Carr's out on a bye, so he's out of the question. Who else did you say? Flacco's matchup isn't very good, but I'm not overly afraid of it. Other than the fact he has to go to the West Coast.
Fantasy-wise, he actually didn't do bad last week.
No, he was a good matchup.
No, the week before that, oh my God, week one, that's, oh my God, he did horrible.
Yeah, that, remember that was that, Baltimore-Denver game that was, mm-hmm. that, what was it, 13-6 or whatever it was?
Projected 19.67 actual points, .68.
Yeah, that was a couple picks and it was ugly. The projections are a nice thing to look at, you know, kind of to get a gauge.
Whenever I pick my team, I'll look at like who they're going up against. But a lot of times I look at like, if this is your projection, I'm expecting you to get it this. So if you go less, that's a bad week. You go in the neighborhood, I'm talking like a half a point below to anywhere above it, I'm happy. Like if you're projected at 15 and you get me 14.5, I'm like, eh, that's not too bad. Like that's close enough.
Yeah,
I can't be mad about it. But if you're scheduled at, I mean, you project at 15, you do 2. I'm like, yep, that was a bad week.
Yeah, I mean, projections are okay. The problem I have with projections is I can't use that as my only tool for picking somebody. Because that's, projection is a very much a computer, you put numbers in and it spits this out. So it's not, I don't know how to phrase it. It's just, to me, it's one of the tools that I could use to decide who to play, but it's not what I would use as my be all end all.
Yeah, like I said, for me, it's just kind of a measuring stick for the player.
Yeah, you take that into account. You take in, you know, what like the quote unquote experts, what they think. You take into the matchup they're playing, whether a player's hot or not. You know, there's a lot like Stafford right now. Dude, I don't care what the projection is. He's not going to meet it. That team is a fucking train wreck. And he's probably projected for 15 or 18 points like he always is. And he's not going to get there, though.
All right. Last tweet. Which is more important running back handcuffed to own? Rawls, Sims, Coleman, Williams, or K. Williams, McFadden, D. Williams, and R. Matthews?
Okay, a little slower. Yeah, I think once Marshawn Lynch comes back, it's his job. I see Rawls being nothing more than a handcuff, and we know Marshawn Lynch is kind of a beast. He's kind of a freak. So once he is healthy, if he comes back 100% healthy, then Rawls is useless. Carlos Williams, I don't know if McCoy will ever be at what he was before. And Williams may do enough because of what he can do once he gets out of his concussion protocol. He's good enough to take that job and actually keep the job. So I would definitely think he's one good one. Who else did you say? Oh, Ryan Matthews, they seem fucking dead set on letting old man wore out DeMarco Murray keep running the fucking football. Matthews, he's a droppable handcuff at this point. If you don't have DeMarco Murray, what's the point? Who else did you say?
Damn it, I just texted out of
I can't remember all of those players. In terms of the best one, I would say Carlos Williams is the only one that I would say is almost a have to have. Because I think even if McCoy comes back, I think Williams has worked something into a position there. Ryan Matthews to me in Philadelphia is the best running back on that team, but he doesn't get on the field. And if you're looking for a running back, Christian Michael right now would be the guy that I would go out and pick up. He's going to be the starter in Dallas. That's a very good offensive line. If Michael kicks in this week and takes off, or I'm sorry, not this week, but next week, if he kicks in next week and takes off, that's going to be a very valuable running back because Romo will come back and Dez will come back and that team will be better than they are now. But you might have to wait it out a little.
And I think that'll do it for us right here on NFL Easy Picks on the Trending Topics Network. Any final words or anything before we go, Mop?
No, just tweet me at the Mop Jockey. Go ahead and send me any fantasy questions, dude. I really love some fantasy football. I love talking it, as you can probably tell. But yeah, please feel free to send me whatever you want.
I think DRG, instead of sending us tweets, you should just send an email, NFLEasyPicks@gmail.com, instead of tweeting us at NFLEasyPicks and using hashtag NFLEasyPicks. I think if you just email NFLEasyPicks@gmail.com, it could go a whole lot better, and I don't need to repeat all that information because I used it there for a reason.
Yeah, and you can actually write out what you mean instead of having to shorthand everything, and yeah.
Yep. And that'll do it for us. And we'll catch everybody next week, and that will conclude the end of regulation time.